Okay, the scripture reading today is Luke 22, chapter 22, verses 14 through 22. And if you don't have a Bible, a pew Bible, it's in page 746, Luke 22, 14, 22. And when you have your place, please rise in honor of God's word. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to the man who betrays him. God bless his word. Please be seated. Today we'll be talking about remembering what God has done. In 1968, Dr. Spencer Silver, a chemist from the 3M company in the U.S., developed a low-tack, reusable, pressure-sensitive adhesive. And after developing the adhesive, Dr. Silver spent 5 years promoting his invention within the 3M company, both formally through seminaries and informally, but without success. In 1974, 6 years later, a colleague, Art Fry, came up with the idea of using the adhesive to anchor his bookmark in his hymn book. He then developed the idea further, and in 1977, 3M launched the product in stores in four cities using the name of Press and Peel. But sales were not good. In 1978, 1 year later, 3M issued free samples to residents of Boise, Idaho, and 95% of the people who tried them said that they would buy the product. On April 6, 1980, 12 years after Dr. Silver developed the adhesive, the product debuted in U.S. stores as Post-it Notes. And as they say, the rest is history. Now, those of you who don't know what a Post-it note is, I brought some Post-it notes. They're these little square things that if you want to write something on it and put it somewhere where you can find it, you can rip it off, whatever you want to do with it, and remember it. And the reason it was yellow, or this is yellow, is that this is the only color paper they had when they ran off the first batch. So that's why it's patented with yellow paper. Why do I tell this story? Well, because we sometimes have trouble remembering. Post-it notes helps us to remember things. things that are important or that we might forget. Today we're going to look at God's command to Israel to remember, especially those things that he did for them. In addition, we're going to review what Jesus commanded us to remember. We just read, he said, remember me. And of course, remember all that he has done for us. When God called Moses to go up on Mount Sinai and gave Israel the law, which we call the Ten Commandments, he told him that he was going to write them in stone so they, the people of Israel, would always remember them. Now, if you think about it, God was way ahead of the 3M company because this was a post-it note, except it was in stone. Sometimes we want to remember critical things that occur in our life, but life is so busy and it seems to be getting busier and we forget. I find that if I want to remember dates and times, it's a good idea that I write it on a calendar or write it down somewhere. Otherwise, I'll forget. So God was concerned with Israel, who on many occasions forgot what he did for them. When God called Moses to Mount Sinai to give him the law, the people had recently left Egypt, where they were slaves and were forced to make bricks. And they even had to find their own material to make the bricks. When they left Egypt, God took them across the Red Sea, but not in boats. They went across on dry ground. God then released the water and the Egyptian army drowned, but the people had forgotten. And when Moses was still on the mountain with God, the people demanded that Aaron build them an idol, a golden calf, claiming this was the God who brought them out of Egypt, Exodus 32. How could they forget so quickly? How could they forget the plagues, especially the last one, which took the firstborn son of every Egyptian household? Remember, God had promised Abraham three things: a people, that is, a family, that would become a great nation. This promise was made even when he had no children. A land, even when Abraham didn't know where he was going. And a blessing, even when he didn't understand what it meant. While in Egypt, thanks to Joseph, they lived in the best location, the land of Goshen. And during their time there, the family grew. And eventually, after Joseph and his father died, the new Pharaoh became concerned with their number, and he made them slaves. When they finally left Egypt, Israel had become a large nation, just as God had promised Abraham. God called Moses to lead the people out of Egypt and lead them to the land that God had promised Abraham and Israel. They approached the land called Canaan from the eastern side of the Jordan. But the promised land was on the western side of the Jordan River. And the question was, how do they get into the promised land? Israel would have to cross the Jordan River. There was another problem, that this was the season when the river was at flood stage. So to get the people from one side to the other, God would repeat the miracle he performed at the Red Sea. He held back the water and people crossed on dry ground. This time, though, the priest stood in the middle of the riverbed holding the Ark of the Covenant. And after all the people of Israel had crossed to the other side, the priest continued to cross. And when they reached the Canaan side, the river began flowing again at full flood stage. Now, to remember this event, God told Joshua to send a representative from each of the 12 tribes to collect the stone from the middle of the riverbed. And Joshua piled up the stones, which were called memorial stones, or matzevot, standing stones. And when your children ask what these stones mean, he said, tell them how God held back the river while Israel crossed on dry ground. In addition to the memorial stones, God wanted Israel to remember other events. God next told Joshua to circumcise every male, as was their practice before they went into their wilderness wanderings. They had stopped circumcising the male children at that time. And the third thing that God told Joshua to do was to begin again the celebration of Passover. Three things to remind the people of what God had done for them: the memorial stones, male circumcision, and the Passover. The significance of these events was to serve as a sign to them, a reminder of what God had done for the people of Israel and how he was fulfilling his promise to them. First, the 12 stones from the center of the Jordan riverbed, they were memorial stones, a remembrance, a reminder to the people forever. In Joshua 4, verses 6 and 7, it says that when your children ask you in the future, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it, the Ark, crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Remember this forever. At various times in the history of his people, whenever God wanted them to remind their children of certain things, he commanded the nation to set up a pile of stones as a memorial. Joshua set up the 12 stones taken out of the riverbed and piled them at Gilgal. Then he said to Israel, in the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the people of the earth might know what? That the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear your God. Remember, your God is powerful, and he controls the environment, especially to accomplish his purposes. The second thing is circumcision. Because Israel did not obey God and enter the promised land the first time, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years as punishment for their disobedience until all their generation was gone. All their generation had died. So all males who were under 20 years old at the time had not been circumcised. What was the meaning of circumcision? It was to remind the descendants of Abraham of the covenant that God made with him and the descendants after him. He promised them three things. They would become a mighty nation. They would possess the land, which was now identified as Canaan. And there would be a blessing to all people through Abraham's descendants. Circumcision is God's promise that he would keep his covenant with the people of Israel as he had with Abraham. Third, they were to keep the Passover celebration. We just had the Passover celebration. This was also called the Feast of Passover, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and it was celebrated on the first month of Nisan, which is our April. sometimes March. The Feast of Unleavened Bread began the day following Passover and lasted 7 days. It was the first and most important of the celebrations. On the Passover day and on the last day of the feast days, they were declared a holiday. And this is still celebrated today. Now, it was obvious why this celebration should be observed. It was God's way of showing his people that he cares for them. The result was that if they followed him, he would, and he did, protect them. They were passed over. God showed through this act of mercy that it was necessary for a sacrifice to be made so that salvation could be given. Without the shedding of blood, sin cannot be forgiven, Hebrews 9. At the time the Passover occurred, God was trying to convince Pharaoh to let his people, Israel, go free. 9 plagues had been released already, and still Pharaoh had refused. The land was filled with dead things, bugs, frogs, locusts, all symbols of Egypt's dead gods. God would release one final catastrophe. He was going to slay all the firstborn sons from Pharaoh's household to the slave girl, Exodus 11. However, for the children of Israel, he provided a way of escape. They would be spared if they would prepare themselves according to God's instructions. This meant the blood of a lamb or a goat was to be sprinkled on the doorposts of their houses. The Lord promised that when I see the blood, I will pass over, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt, Exodus 12. Did it happen? Yes, it did. And the children of Israel were spared. All of Israel prepared themselves according to God's instructions, and the angel of death passed over their households. It was obvious that God intended them to remember this terrifying event and practice the celebration that would remind them of God's great mercy. Exodus 12, verse 14 tells us, "Now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generation. You are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. To this day, devout Jews remember their deliverance from Egypt by celebrating the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Even so, not all Jews remember and celebrate." What about us today? Do we need to remember what God did for us? Well, as a nation, we should, and as Christ followers, we are commanded to remember what God has done for us. God instituted memorial events in the Old Testament and has instituted memorial events in the New Testament, which we still practice today. Here we are today in a Baptist church, which emphasizes one of the sacraments, baptism, which we perform as a memorial. Baptism visualizes that we have died with Christ and have been resurrected with him to a new life. When people accepted Jesus Christ in the first century, they were baptized. In Acts 2:41, it tells us that those who had received Peter's word at Pentecost were baptized. Did Jesus tell us to do this? Well, in Matthew 28, verse 19, he told his followers to go and make disciples of all nations. What? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Baptism is a sign, not a means of salvation. Baptism is a symbol representing Christ's death and resurrection. Baptism is to remind us that we are followers of the risen Christ. The second memorial event is often called communion. Jesus himself stated the significance of this religious meal in the life of the body of Christ, that is, the church. At his Last Supper, as Christ distributed the bread and the cup, he demonstrated how his body would be bruised or broken and his blood shed for the sins of the world. Then he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Luke 22. Paul added to Christ's words in his letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11:26. He said, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Down through the history of the church, these two ordinances have been used to remind us of what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us through his death on the cross and his resurrection. Remember, and don't forget, Christ died for all of us, for everyone. But more importantly, he died for each one of us individually. For Christ, it's a personal thing. He died for you, and he died for me personally. And because he has, we who accept him as Savior and Redeemer are promised, and he cannot lie, that each one will live with him through all eternity. Remember these things. We do them because of what God has done for us. We do them not only to remember, but so that non-Christians can see that we worship the one true God of the world. He is the Creator God who, through his mighty power, created all things. He is the only God who can save us from our sins and give us eternal life. Do you believe this? I pray you do. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we pray that all here today will remember that you are the one true God, the hope of the world. You tell us that without faith, it's impossible to please you. And without you, we have no hope. And without hope, it would be a great burden to live in this world. It is sad that so many today do not believe in you. And having no hope, they find it almost impossible to cope with the problems that are evident in the world. Thank you for showing us that the hope of the world is Jesus. Let us remember that you loved us so much that you gave us your one-of-a-kind Son so that we can have peace and everlasting life. Thank you for your promise of eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.